Wow.
Oh yeah, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pi Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with regenerative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty brown and blue with purple polka dots degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Jeremy and Shane? Can you feel it?
I feel it. It's working.
I feel something. I thought it was agita, but maybe it's not.
Are you felt? Are you? And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIP Cotton No Government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. So, just coming back from a uneventful weekend where absolutely nothing happened whatsoever. Just boring and humdrum, except for one little minor detail. All three of us were at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest this past weekend. Yay!
Yay, but it's over, boo.
Yeah, I know, for reals. Oh, man, what a bummer.
Yeah.
My weekend was actually very eventful, Lou.
Really? Do tell.
Yeah.
Share with us.
I got to meet lots of people from the Liberty community, and lots of our fans, too, actually. I want to give a shout-out to Ed Strimmel, who came all the way from Kansas to be there.
Yeah, I think I met him briefly.
Yeah, yeah, he's a really cool guy.
With the long hair and the super beard.
He had the super beard and the cowboy hat with the Fiends buttons on it.
Yeah, yeah. I could swear that I met him before, but he said that was his first time there.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever met him before, but last year was my first year.
Yeah. For some reason, I was thinking he was there last year, too. But anyway, yeah, that was kind of neat. And yeah, we got to meet the BIP Tots.
Yes. We started to discuss this last night, but then, of course, Michael and went off on his own, so we never got back to it. But yeah, we finally got to get the BIP Tots there. Although... At one point, I didn't realize that they had gotten a little upset. They didn't understand why everybody kept calling them the BIP Tots, and they thought they were being made fun of. Because at one point at the campsite towards the end, I think it was sometime late on Sunday, they were both stomping their feet. Why does Lou keep calling us the BIP Tots? I'm like, no. I'm like, don't blame Lou. I'm the one who started that. I'm like, it's because everybody loves you. Don't worry about it. It's okay. I think I smoothed it over. But yeah, they were a little upset about that. But yeah, finally got the kids there, and they had a heck of a time. They've actually been sleeping still the past 2 days longer than they have in forever, because they were just wiped out, man. I don't know if they've ever had that much running and playing like consistently for that many days straight, and also staying up till, oh geez, I don't know, like they were up till midnight, I think, two or three nights in a row, and still wanted to get up relatively early to do more stuff. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm as different as it was for me, because I didn't get to do some of the things I did the year before, it was still awesome, and it was a wonderful experience that I'm super excited I got to bring them to, and I cannot wait till next year, because they already started asking about next year, so I'm planning on bringing them back. Yeah, well, they made friends, man. They're like, you know, they were like stoked. They were so worried about that, because around here they have friends, but a lot of them, you know, they're younger. So when you're younger, at least this is the way it was for me, or when I grew up around here way back when, you know, the majority of your friends are often your cousins, especially in our families that have like huge families. So there's cousins everywhere. So those start off as your first friends. But both my family and the majority of my ex's family have disowned us over my shenanigans. So they don't get to spend a lot of time with their cousins, and their one or two friends that they have that are their age aren't always around. And then, you know, their other friends live in different states, because my ex has friends from, you know, from other places, and then they have older kids that want to hang out with them, but they don't have any like I mean, I don't like to keep them exactly in the with people, kids their own age, like their age specifically, but, you know, closer to their age range. And, you know, right off the bat, they had a bunch of people, you know, camping next to them, that, you know, kids that were closer to their age. And, yeah, they were shy at first, but they got over that in a hurry. And, man, they just could not. They're not done talking about it. My ex sent me a message earlier today. She's like, all they keep talking about is how much fun they had with you.
Ah, that's,
which
that's
warms nice. My heart, man.
Yeah, so they weren't mad at me for calling them Biptas, were they?
No, I got them over. Though I said, don't blame Lou, blame me. I started that. Although I can't remember how we actually started that, but yeah, no, it's like I said, I think they just thought people were making fun of them, and I tried to explain the Bipcot license. I don't think I got it through. I'm gonna have to work on that.
Okay, I got a kick out of them. It turns out that they thought that I was pretty cool because they listened to the show a little bit.
Yes, yes. Lou is a superhero to my children. He replaced me for the weekend.
Well, I thought that was real cute when you said, all right, girls, now this is Lou. What do you say to him? And they're like, what in the happy Halloween are you talking about?
Oh, man. Yeah, they think it's hysterical. I told you that. Yeah, I've let them listen, you know, because occasionally, when they're here, if they want to do something, because sometimes they'll ask to play a game or watch TV or just do something, and then when I ask if I can play with them or sit with them, they're like, no, Daddy, we're busy. So during those instances, when they're asking to be left alone, I'm like, okay, so I'll sit and listen to a podcast or something, and I'll often do it through my computer, so I'm not like, I don't have my headphones on, and they'll hear it, and they've heard shows with you and me together, and they heard you using that phrase, and they thought it was the funniest thing, and they kept joking about it, but they'll change it up too. They'll say like, what in the Merry Halloween, what in the Happy Christmas. They just throw whatever holiday in there, but they thought it was hysterical. So I said to him, I'm like, you're gonna have to tell Lou that when we meet him. I'm like, and they knew. So what they knew going up on that car ride was, we have to say Happy Halloween to Lou, and Lou loves bacon. That's what we need to know. I'm like, yes, Lou is the bacon man, because my little Emma, she loves bacon too. She's like, Lou loves bacon. I'm like, oh yes, and Lou is going to make lots of bacon. And she was like all excited.
Lots of bacon.
Yes, yes. And bacon, and there was bacon aplenty. I definitely had quite a bit of bacon from you, from my campmate Derica, I ate lots of bacon. I think I ate a lot more bacon than I did last year.
Good for you. Congratulations. Yes. How much bacon did you eat, Shane?
I think I only had like maybe 4 pieces.
That's the whole like time? Ridiculously little amount, Shane.
Well, what in the happy Halloween's the matter with you?
Well, we brought a lot of our own food, plus everyone else was selling food. So I kind of had to like try to make sure I got a little bit of everything.
You didn't bring your own bacon?
We actually didn't bring our own bacon this year. We figured you were going to take care of that.
Would you go vegan or something? What's up with that?
Oh, no, I didn't go vegan. We had all kinds of good stuff.
Sounds like you're trying to.
No. I'm always going to make room for bacon.
I hope so. Otherwise, we're going to have to rename you Sally or something like that. So I thought, did I actually get the Biptas to eat berries?
No,
they were kind of resistant at first.
Yeah, they're still iffy. They brought home a ton of berries for their mom. They still were iffy about eating them. I got one of them to try a mulberry. The raspberries, they were still, they went, I ate a bunch of them, man. Those things were delicious.
it was funny. I would just be walking up and down the road or something like that, or along the pathway, and then just make a sudden turn into the wood line and start eating berries. I wasn't like eating them with my mouth right off the bush, but pretty darn close
enough. Yeah, I almost did that to the mulberry tree. I took a running shot at the branch at one point. I considered sticking my mouth up and just pulling it out of midair, but the next thought I had was this visual of me being impaled on a mulberry tree branch, and my kids going, Daddy, what are you doing up there? And I'm like, yeah, that's probably not the best idea. So I shut my mouth quickly before I continued with that thought. But yeah, and then of course there was the bath in the lake. They still haven't stopped talking about that either. One of the first things they told their mother when they came home was, oh my God, we saw Lou. Lou is taking a bath in the lake. He's so crazy.
Yeah. Apparently nobody in history has ever pulled out a bar of soap and a bottle of shampoo while swimming in a lake.
Well, listen, man, they're not even six yet. They don't have these experiences. they go to the beach with their mom. You don't see too many people trying to take a bath out of Jones Beach, you know, in that lovely salty water. So I don't think they have much lake experience. So I think this was definitely a first for them, and it just blew their mind that somebody would even do that. You know,
we've never seen that in our lifetimes. We're almost six.
Exactly. And if we haven't seen it, it must not happen. This is craziness.
As I think about it, I think all the baths that I took were actually in the lake this weekend.
It was probably much more efficient than using those shower stalls, which can be a pain in the butt sometimes because the water pressure there was good. Sometimes in some of those places I've been to in the past, either the water pressure isn't that great or, you know, there's only a certain amount of hot water. And if you get there too late, you're taking a cold shower, which in the middle of a hot day is wonderful. And the first thing in the morning when you're trying to wake up sometimes isn't the best thing in the world. But yeah, it was probably a much. I probably should have actually tried to doing that too, because trying to fight the two of them in the shower, you know, that was fun. So I probably should have just thrown them in the lake.
I have my own shower in the camper.
Oh,
I just didn't use it this trip. And I am somewhat limited in the hot water, so I think about probably 15 minutes is the cutoff limit for fully hot water, and I can maybe stretch it out to 20 with lukewarm water.
Oh,
you know, as you go along, the hot water will diminish a little bit, and that's when you're doing like the last 5 minutes. You could probably squeeze out some lukewarm water.
Oh. Well, that'd be more than enough time for me. I don't take very long showers. If I want to, I can, but I'm normally like a 5 minutes and out guy. So, you know,
I'm 5 minutes on just my hair.
Well, I was going to say it helps having no hair. That's why I keep my head shaved pretty tight. So I don't have to worry about that stuff. You know, half the time, especially like right after a haircut, I can just, you know, I don't even have to use shampoo. I just use soap.
Yeah. Well, just a couple of years ago, I had the same haircut as you.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, yeah,
there's pictures of me out there with just the buzz cut, but anyway, yeah, it's had a good time out there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Too busy talking to New Talk Radio. We are back, and we were talking about our experiences. Well, actually, I was yammering about my experiences at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, so we should probably get some more info from Shane, and Lou will be back shortly. I think he went to go forage for some food. I don't know if he's actually outside looking for berries at this hour, but I have a feeling he's more hunting for popcorn. But
yeah. Well, like I said, not only did I get to hang out with some Fiend fans and fellow Fiends, like Nick Hazelton, who I met for the first time.
Yes, but, boy, it was good to see him again.
Right. I also finally got to hang out with one of my friends online, who everybody's probably heard of, Sterling Lujan. And he was only there for a couple days. But, yeah, we got to make the most of it. And he gave a talk at the Pavilion on the way how he came to anarchy, and he gave a little bit of a talk about compassionate anarchy and relationalism and nonviolent communication. But he was also supposed to have a cryptocurrency talk, which actually didn't get scheduled, but kind of happened impromptu at the campsite, which was really neat. I got to be there for that.
Yeah, Sterling's speech, the first half of Sterling's speech was one of the only two pieces of speeches I actually caught this whole weekend. although I can't really blame that on the kids. Well, I mean, I could. But last year I didn't have the kids, and I still didn't make it to any speeches. So I don't really think I can blame it on the children. It's just that I never managed to make it over there. I feel bad. I want to, but...
I probably made it to twice as many of the talks this year as I did last year. And part of that was because we helped volunteer this year, work in the sign-in tent, and Miriam helped volunteer with some of the audiovisual stuff. So we actually got to be there for a lot of the talks.
Yeah.
We learned a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I remember. Well, Miriam was one of the first faces I saw, actually probably the first face I saw when I got there, because I drove up and she was already in the sign-in tent.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So... yeah, it's well. I mean, and also there was more. I mean, there was bigger names there this year too, from last year. Last year, Prof. CJ was the headliner, and then after him, I don't really remember too many. I mean, I knew a lot of the people speaking, but they were like friends of mine, and they were like, you know, what you know, people yeah. like people like us, like you know, the G-listers in the Liberty Movement. You know, it was people like that giving speeches. But you know, this year there was three. You know, not everybody may know Sterling, but he is making quite a name for himself these days with his relational anarchism and also the cryptocurrency stuff, because you know he writes for bitcoin.org, doesn't he? Or he Bitcoin does. Talk and stuff like that, or one
com,
of those,
I believe.
Yeah, .com. So you know, but you know, with Jeffrey Tucker and Dana Martin being there, those were you know, it's
Ben Stone.
Yes, and Ben. Well, but Ben didn't. Yeah, but yeah. Ben didn't talk. But I'm talking about like speaker wise, it's getting.
Well, he did appear on the Anarchy Roundtable with Jeffrey Tucker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I missed
that. That was really nice to have both of them on at the same time.
I'm back.
Oh.
Welcome back, Lou.
You're done foraging for food, Lou.
Yeah, I'm done folding pants I just pulled out of the dryer and grabbing a couple slices of pizza. Yeah, I picked a couple slices of pizza off of the bush out in the yard.
That's what I forgot to plant this year, my pizza bushes. Gosh darn it. I knew something was missing from the right side of my house.
Don't you hate when that happens? It might even be past the planting season.
I know, now. Exactly. And I'm going to have to wait all until next year.
You could try planting it and like really fertilizing it with Parmesan cheese and maybe some Romano, but you're probably just going to get stunted slices on the vine.
Yeah. Well, if you grow your pizza indoors, you can control the lights and the nutrients, and you might be able to get it to mature a little faster.
Yeah, I mean, have you tried aquaponic pizza?
No. I'll have to look into that. I actually have one of those doers. Like somebody sent me it. I think it was actually my ex-mother-in-law when she's still kind of like me. Like the schematics on how to build my own aquaponic system that I kept saying, I'm going to go do this, and just never have. Wasn't going to do pizza, but interesting. Anyway, so back to the fest. So with, you know, with more names coming, it's definitely more worthwhile, I think. Like I said, if I didn't have the kids, I probably would have tried to sit through, actually hang out for more speeches and stuff. But, you know, whatever. I still had a blast. I don't care.
I barely caught any of the presentations because I was so busy cooking and doing interviews. I caught Tucker. I don't even think I caught much of Anarchy Roundtable. I caught part of Dana Martin. And I do have some great interviews, too, that I recorded.
And yeah, you were
this weekend. Hopefully this weekend I'll get to start editing them.
Nice.
Anyway, we'll be back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Tales from Liberty Fest.
Yes.
So, yeah, last segment we were talking about some of the speakers that were there, and Jeffrey Tucker, he's always inspirational. I always get a kick out of listening to him because he's like the most optimistic Liberty person out there. He's as optimistic as he is well dressed.
Yes.
And he was just as well dressed at the fest.
Yeah. The pictures of him wandering around in the woods in his suit and bow tie are classic. It's just like, yes, Jeffrey really does pretty much go everywhere in a suit.
Pretty much, yeah. And he was a little bit toasty on Saturday evening.
So I heard. I lost track of him during the day, but I heard tales.
Yeah, I did about
mainly 40, from you.
I did about a 40-45 minute interview with him, something like that. That's the gross time. I don't know what net time is going to be after taxes are taken out and editing, but yeah, he was feeling pretty good that night. I got to him probably about 11:30 on Saturday night. And we sat down in the camper and did an interview. That was after I cooked for him. So I've cooked for some of the biggest names in Liberty.
that's a sweet deal. That's why you lined up all the interviews, man. I kind of, you know, I figured you had your equipment, you have a nice camper, you get it. But that's how you were luring him in. Come on. I'll cook you some food. Sit down. Have a talk.
Yeah.
Talking to the mic.
I haven't cooked for Dana. She's a vegan. And ooh. It was, yeah. She said, nice. She asked me if I could whip up some like broccoli, onions, and tomatoes sauteed in olive oil. And I'm like, you know, and where's the bacon? But she's vegan. But so anyway, it's like, all right, it's just like cooking normal, but leaving out the 6 pounds of bacon.
Yes.
It came out okay. She seemed to like it. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But I also did a lot of interviews with just attendees, you know, people that aren't celebrities or anything like that. And one of the common themes was about the kids there. And there's been a lot of discussion about it. If you know people that went to Liberty Fest, your news feed is probably blowing up with all the pictures and all the, oh, we miss it, and all this other stuff. But there's one of the big conversations was how well-behaved the kids were there. And all these kids are homeschooled or unschooled, for that matter, and they're the products of homes that practice peaceful parenting. And it was just amazing how happy and polite the kids were. And I don't even think I saw a single temper tantrum all weekend.
Nah, you weren't with the Bip Tots enough.
they had a couple of
meltdowns, but for the most part, they were actually really. This, you know, considering how new a lot of this was to them, they actually did really, really, really well. Yeah, we saw a couple of them. There was a couple of, but it was just normal kid stuff, you know, young kids not getting their way and wanting to do something, or the bigger kids getting to do something that they can't do. But that's normal stuff. But yeah, it was great to see, you know. I mean, like I said in the first segment, that's as much fun as I had last year. That's what I was hoping for last year, because I wanted to bring the kids. I wanted them to have that experience. I wanted them to be around these other kids and see what it's like. You know, it's great.
Yeah, well, the impact that Liberty Fest had on many of the kids there was pretty good. I mean, there's some that have been there before, and they're just used to this sort of thing, because this is actually kind of their lifestyle. I don't know if you meet Mary Vandekar? She was the young gal that was teaching yoga in the morning.
Yes, I did. I actually took the yoga class.
Okay. Well, anyway, there was a conversation thread on her Facebook about the well-behaved kids and everything, and a lot of people were pointing stuff out and giving explanations why, and making suggestions and talking about how what they're planning on doing with their younger kids and stuff like that, and yeah. It's really amazing, and a friend of the show, Paul Gordon, his daughter was there. It was her first time there. It was his first time there also, and he put out a post yesterday or maybe today talking about how much it impacted his daughter and how she had such a good time, and she's actually considering homeschooling, where she's been resistant in the past.
Worms.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I know Paul's very excited about that because he, you know, yeah, like you said, she has been he's been really hoping that she would choose that path on her own to leave the government schooling, but he came to Liberty, you know, he came to Liberty a little late in life, and his daughter was already starting to grow up, so she already had, you know, established friendships and has been in school for years now. So, and he didn't, obviously trying to be as much of a peaceful parent as he can, he didn't want to force her, and you know, it's not like, well, I'm taking you out of school whether you like it or not, because that just kind of goes against the principles. Doesn't quite work.
Taking you out of school to force you to be happy.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, no matter how good we know it's going to be for him, still can't force it upon him, especially at that age. So, yeah, to hear that, and his daughter, you know, she very nice young lady, also pretty good little you know, content creator on her own. She has her own YouTube channel and stuff. She does videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
she's got like 30 YouTube channels.
I subscribe to the bigger one that she puts a lot of her stuff on. But
what's that called?
Oh, I'll have to look that up. I don't have it in front of me. And she's also apparently, you know, she's got a little bit of an artiste. She was making, we were sitting doing a recording at one point up at somebody's campsite, and it was Paul and a couple of Paul, myself, and a couple of other of our friends. And then we had the camera out. They were recording content for a bunch of different shows that they do. And she was just sitting there quietly next to her dad as we're all talking. And all of a sudden, she just goes, "Oh, here!" And she holds up what she was making, and she was turning blades of grass into a hangman's noose. And
God.
But she's got a little bit of a dark side, but she's very talented, and
she does. She's Paul's daughter.
Well, exactly. But a very, you know, very, very polite young lady, and see, from just the few conversations I got to had with her, very intelligent, and she definitely seemed like, I think she even said it at one point, that she was just kind of sitting back and like observing and just listening to everybody, and just kind of, you know, because she was quiet a lot, and you know, she wanted to let people know that it wasn't like she was like she didn't want to talk to anybody. She was really just trying to pay attention and absorb stuff. And sure enough, she came home and told Paul that, you know, the whole event definitely had an impact on her. And you know, I don't think my kids are going to be able to verbalize that at this, you know, to that extent at this point, because you know, Neil is more than twice their age. But that's kind of
Yeah,
exactly. So that's what I'm trying to I'm hoping that they that type of stuff rubs off on them too, because that's really what it's all about. It's not, you know, not forcing these ideas on them, but just getting them to see, well, this is what we talk about all the time. You know, this is what daddy, when daddy does his shows and he talks to his friends on the computer, like that's what my kids think of me doing a radio show, is talking to my friends on the computer. That's how they equate it. So it's like, yeah,
that's how I think of me doing a radio show.
Well, yeah. Actually, you're right, Lou. My kids are probably smarter than I am in that respect. But yeah, they yeah, it's what I hope they get out of that, because I just to see, hey, this is what we talk about. This is us trying to live it, you know, other than the tents. I don't know if I wanted to live in a tent all the time, but but other than that, just the idea of community, the sharing, the helping each other out, the transacting for food or, you know, whatever products and service, you know, or may you make or services you provide, with no government regulation and just people exchanging voluntarily and stuff like that. All these things occurring right there in real time. So I hope it has the same effect on them, because might make it even more worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I found her YouTube channel. It's called Polaroid Kins. Polaroid, like the camera. Kins, K-I-N-Z, Kilo, India, November, Zulu. And
go ahead.
Recent postings up. Michigan Vlog 1, a freaking long car ride.
Yeah.
That was 7 hours ago. And then she had another one recently called "I'm Going to Michigan," and this was 5 days ago. And it looks like she put something up 3 days ago called "Beans" with a Z. So yeah,
she's very busy. Well, yeah, just like her dad, who's always constantly trying to do show after show after show. She's constantly trying to provide content, and you know, at that young age, it's great. So
yeah, I wonder if she gets it from Paul or if Paul gets it from her.
Well, since I like to give Paul as little amount of credit as possible, I'm going to go with the latter.
Right on.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Paulie. I know you'll listen to this, and I love you, brother. And it was great to meet Paul. I mean, I've known Paul now for, you know, 2 or 3 years, maybe, and to finally actually get to see him in the flesh, that was nice. Pink shirt, pink bow tie, and all.
Although he is much older than I am his anarchy daddy.
Yes, this is true.
Because right. I raised him from a young status pup.
That's right. I remember that story when he first found you. He still believed in the Constitution and silly
my
things
rule
like that.
Of law.
My piece of paper.
My magic parchment. So yeah, it was nice though because I got a chance to sit down with Paul and Bodie Andrew and Neela on what was it? Sunday evening, yeah. So, yeah, I got a chance to talk to them, and we just really shot the bull, probably for a good hour. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of good stuff in there. That interview with Tucker was pretty darn good. Also, Mary Ruart, Dr. Mary Ruart, who was there talking about a significant reason for the high cost of healthcare being what it is today due to regulation, goes into... I believe she went into some specific details on that. I didn't catch her presentation either because I was getting stuff ready for the interview using new equipment. I also interviewed Adam Williams, Dana Martin, Sterling Lujan, and yeah, just a bunch of other people. I even got a nice little interview with Ben Stone. I'm contemplating the title for Ben's called Hummingbirds. What was it? Hummingbirds, bats, and chipmunks. So
you've piqued my interest.
That's a little bit of an inside joke. Hummingbirds, bats, and chipmunks with and bad Quakers. We'll nice. Be back.
Worms. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this, and we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Freedom Fiends. So let's wrap up this hour. Do either of you have any final thoughts on How Liberty Fest? We don't turn the whole episode into How Liberty Fest Was All Day, All Night. What are your final thoughts on it?
Well, you know, like I said, I had a blast. My kids had a blast. Glad I went. Glad they came. Can't wait to go back next year. So, and I hope even more people decide to, because that was the other thing. We did have a bunch of fiends there and former fiends and stuff like that and fiend fans. One current fiend who was supposed to be there bailed on us at the last minute. Braden, he emailed me. I didn't get it until after I got back because I wasn't paying attention to my email. But he emailed me on the way there. To cancel, because him and I just did a show together a couple of nights before that where he had announced that he had decided at the last minute he was going, and he emailed me after seeing the weather reports, it's like, I'm not going to come out because I see the weather. So, you know, try to have a good time. So when I got home and I saw that email, I was like, I emailed him yesterday and I was like, well, bad choice on your part, because it only rained that first day. After that, it was pretty darn nice for the whole weekend.
What a kitty cat.
I know, I know. Well, I mean, yeah. I get it. If you're hauling all the way from Colorado, you don't want to make that trip. I can understand if you think it's going to rain the whole time. But yeah, it's a poor choice on by him, because, yeah, we got what we got. Maybe a couple of showers after that. And it was pretty beautiful the rest of the weekend. So, yeah. I don't think people should back out that, you know. Never back out because of the weather, folks, because you never know what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, even though it rained more last year, I still had a lot of fun last year. I probably had more fun this year just because a lot of the people that I met last year, I got to know a lot better this time around. And it might not have been bigger, but it was definitely better. And I'm glad that I got to volunteer and see a little bit behind the scenes. We had a little bit of, you know, audio issues when it came to the audio visual stuff, but I think we'll be able to get it figured out. Miriam's pretty good with that stuff. But I really feel a much bigger sense of connection to everyone this time around, and I really want to be a part of the community. I actually feel like I'm really part of the Anarcho family this time.
Nice. So yeah. Here's a question for you guys, and you're not going to have any time to think about it, but the way things are at Liberty Festival, the way that you live your life while you're there, what are you doing to continue living that way after you leave?
Well, for me, it's that's why I'm trying to get the heck out of New York, because I'm trying to shift. I'm trying to shift closer to Michigan permanently, but also my whole plan in that is to be surrounded by more people with a community of like-minded individuals who are trying to live that type of lifestyle. You know, like again, like I said earlier, not necessarily out of tents, but having, you know, everybody having their own little piece of property and having their own little farm, for instance, in my situation, but just building that community where you can continue having these interactions more often, and you know, engaging, you know, with the sale of your product or services freely with these people and stuff like that, and just getting together and you know, sharing meals and all those things, and just having, as Shane said, the Anarcho family, having them around more often. Yeah, man, that's what I'm trying to get at. So,
right, yeah, having this community gather every so often is really nice, but we can still maintain our connection with the community online while we're apart. And I've got a lot of ideas and projects I want to work on with people, and I'm going to try to stick to it and stay connected with everyone, and so everyone can stay on the same page.
I try to take the mindset of Liberty Fest home with me and keep it with me all year round, meaning that I'm going to treat people with respect the way I want to be treated. I'm going to be enterprising when possible. I'm going to go record a bunch of stuff whenever possible. Basically, I just try to keep the mindset with me at all times. And in that regard, Liberty Fest doesn't really end. It just packs up and goes somewhere else. We'll be back for the second hour.
Worms.
It's going to go somewhere else. Going to come here. It's kind of lonely here.
Well, that's behind the Iron Curtain in New Yorkistan. Freedom's not a lot. There's an embargo.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government.
And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And this is Lou, and I'm joined by Shane and Jeremy. And we just spent the first hour talking about our time at Liberty Fest, and it was a very enjoyable time. But now it's time to move on and get back to the other general all-around liberty and making fun of government and the people that love government. So Yeehaw. What kind of silly nonsense do we have tonight?
Well, let's see. The first one we have, I think Michael actually sent this to us, and I believe the phrase he used would be, I think he said it would be criminal not to talk about this one. this was released, I guess, yesterday. And man spent 3 months behind bars for possession of cocaine that turned out to be drywall. Government. Okay, first of all, it takes 90 days to test cocaine. Are you insane? Aren't there kits
you could buy it in 90 seconds?
I was going to say, aren't there kits at the store you could buy for this stuff, where there's homemade ways you could do this stuff? But yeah, the idiocy of government bureaucracy had this individual spend three months in jail because of their mistake. Apparently this guy was pulled over. And they found when he was searched, they found dust in his pocket, which he tried to explain to him was drywall from the construction job that he was working. But because he had a prior arrest a couple of years ago for cannabis and cocaine possession, they just said, nope, we're going to hold you until we get this tested and get this all sorted out, and then just left them there.
What does it say about the war on drugs that not even the cops can tell the difference between cocaine and drywall?
Well, exactly.
Like, I know, right? You know,
most cops that I've known that have dealt with the drug war any capacity usually say, you know, they're trained to, you know, in those situations, you can usually taste it.
Yeah, and if you've ever watched like a cop show on TV, that's like when they find something like that, they usually taste it and they're like, "Yep, that's the stuff."
This is why you can find cocaine on darn near any corner, or you can find cocaine in any city or town or neighborhood for that matter. But surprisingly, Home Depot still has drywall left. So, I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to build a case against Home Depot for possession of drywall. And they're gonna use all that powder underneath the drywall, you know, that falls off of the sheets, and they're gonna use that as evidence to enhance the charges. But I will say this: it may not be such a bad idea that the guy was locked in jail for 3 months. And I'm going with the very opening sentence of the article: a Florida handyman is walking out of jail a free man after spending 3 months in jail. So. Florida man gets arrested again.
Yeah, I know, but and you know, as much joy and pleasure as Florida man often brings me, in these situations, I still feel bad for the guy because that's insane. 3 months that you get locked up just because you, allegedly did something wrong once before, which according to everything I could find about this, he didn't actually do anything wrong because he was just in possession of something that he should quote unquote should be allowed to have because, well, you know, laws are ridiculous, especially drug laws, because he wasn't hurting anybody by just possessing them. So just because he was already caged, he was harassed, kidnapped and caged once before for not hurting anybody. Now he was harassed, kidnapped and caged a second time for simply coming home from work.
Well, if you think Florida Man is dumb, you ought to see Florida Cop. Florida Cop is really dumb. Somehow that's going to be the show title.
Yes.
Something to do with Florida Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Florida Cop, dumber than Florida Man.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no reason that should have took 90 days to get the results back, especially when there was someone sitting in a cage.
Yeah. So he's a handyman by trade. He was pulled over for a routine traffic stop when the police officer said he noticed white powder in the man's car. Huh, a handyman with white powder. Could that be drywall? Nah, must be cocaine. The officer called for backup, and a drug-sniffing canine later alerted officers that narcotics were present in the vehicle. I think that canine went to government. That's why he wasn't real smart.
I've heard that they can signal the canines to give a false positive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I've seen a bunch of reports done on that where it's very easy. And that's not that wouldn't be that far fetched for me to believe anyway. Being a dog, being a canine behavioralist for almost a decade at this point, you could train them to do anything you want and make them here, tell us where the drugs are, puppy. Tell them where they are. Tell them they're right here, aren't they? They're right here, are they? As they do these weird little taps and stuff. Absolutely.
If I can change an Upton Sinclair quote around, never expect a dog to do the right thing when his treats depend upon him doing the wrong thing.
Nice.
That's good.
Very nice. So
they ran a check on him, found out they'd been arrested in 2015 for marijuana and cocaine charges. He had pled no contest to the 2015 charges. He was arrested and denied bond by a judge because it was believed he had violated his parole. After 3 months behind bars, lab tests returned and determined the powder in his car was indeed drywall residue and tested negative for cocaine. Cash was able to walk free last week. I sat there 90 days knowing I was innocent, Cash told WFTV9. The Oviedo Police Department has not returned a call for comment from InsideEdition.com. Gee, I wonder why. I really wonder why. Well, maybe they called it like the last minute and said, hey, we're going to press with the story in like 5 minutes. Could you give a comment? And they didn't get back.
Yeah.
Or they just really have an awful lot of egg on their face and... Because there's absolutely no reason whatsoever that this guy should have been arrested and held in jail for 90 days. Even if we pretend that the drug war, the war on drugs, a.k.a. no cartel or police agency left behind, is legitimate, and it's not. But if we pretend that it is, shouldn't the cops put forth a little bit of effort to try and get it right? It's like they're not even trying anymore. So... Way to go, Florida Cop. You're dumber than Florida Man.
It's insane. Well, because like I said, through the entire thing, if you want to accept the drug war as serving a purpose other than destroying lives, sure. But in reality, like nothing in that story, it did not express in any way, shape, or form that he actually harmed anybody. Even the reason he was pulled over, a routine traffic stop, which means most likely he wasn't harming anybody. It's just some BS revenue scam thing. So this man literally did nothing, as far as I could tell, has done nothing wrong in any of these instances. And still ended up having to spend time in jail for this. If that isn't a testament, the strongest testament you get is why his government is just ridiculously horrible. I don't know what is wrong with you if that doesn't make sense to you at this point.
Yeah, after 90 days, you could lose your job or your apartment or house or anything,
You lose your job after a week.
Yeah. So
if that long.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could lose your job just over the accusations, even if you do get proven. I'm currently dealing with something like that in my own life, allegedly. Right. The fact where, even if I walk away from things, which I still hopefully should be able to, it still could be held over my head just because of the stigma. Again, even though you don't do anything wrong, you don't harm anybody, you're looked down upon by the society sycophants that just don't care about right and wrong.
The By sycophants, you mean those that will defend the state like they're defending yes. their mother?
Yes, that is. Those are the folks, the fine folks I'm referring to. And fine is obviously very sarcastic in that sentence.
Ugh.
Yeah, they owe this guy at least an apology, if not more.
Well, it'll be really nice if... Well, there's probably going to be a lawsuit on this, but it'd be really nice if the cops that arrested him and held him there, if they had to pay out of their own pockets.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because, sure, there could be a lawsuit, and he will likely win, but who has to pay? The taxpayers of his county, including himself. He will actually be paying, if he pays taxes in any capacity, then he's actually going to be paying his own settlement and portion. That's the beauty of government, folks. Even when you win, you still lose.
Yeah. When you screw up, who pays the price? You do. When government screws up, who pays the price? You still do.
Yeah, you and your neighbors.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, no, not an exact, but not everybody though. Not the people who work for government, because they're already getting paid in the money that was taken from us in the first place. You know, that's why I hate. You know, I had a situation like that when I was quasi arrested in Penn Station a couple of years ago for using my vape pen of all things, and I was handcuffed and roughed up a little bit and put in a cage by the Metro cops for about an hour, and then finally let go with a ticket, which was dropped because I wrote a letter explaining how I was going to sue the pants off the city for false arrest and all this other stuff. And they immediately wanted to drop the ticket. Now, the funny thing is, I never had any intention of suing the city, even if I had needed to, even if they hadn't dropped it, because I don't see that as a win for me. If I have, if I sue the city, who is that punishing? It doesn't punish the people that did anything to me. You know, it doesn't punish those cops. It doesn't punish the police department. It doesn't punish the government. It just punishes the idiots in the city who either, willingly hand over their money in taxes or do it grudgingly. But either way, it punishes all them. So I hate when I see, stories like that, that people are so, oh, you got to sue. It's like, you don't get it. You really don't get it, do you? You're not helping matters. Stop it. Yes, we should be able to sue the police officers directly. That would be a much more effective. That'd be a more effective deterrent.
But then they'll be afraid to do their job.
Exactly.
Right. We'll be back. Meow meow meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Run! Oh no, Mr. Boo! Florida cop. Even dumber than Florida man.
Yeah, they are.
So what other sorts of neat, exciting stuff do we have to make fun about? I'm still looking for stories. I have to admit that I am woefully unprepared for tonight.
That's okay. We found a few of them, and this one made me chuckle. If you want to make fun of something, this one comes from FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education, one of my favorite websites to check out regularly, and the title is "Seattle's Minimum Wage Has Been a Disaster." As the city's own study confirms. So for those who aren't aware, Seattle, one of those progressive bastions, I think they were like one of the first to start jacking the minimum wage a few years ago, and they recently passed the 15. I think they were the first one to actually do it. But this study, they've been doing this study now, for the past.
Excuse me, you're burying the lead. That's called Fight for 15% Unemployment Rate.
Yes, you're correct. Sorry. So I think they just recently raised it to $15 an hour. But this, there's been studies going on, and this is studies funded in part by the Seattle city government, which, going back to the last segment, we know is actually means funded by the taxpayer. But so funded by the taxpayers themselves, who all seem to be clamoring for this, you know, minimum wage hike. They've been studying it since they first raised it to $11 an hour a couple of years ago, and then continue to re-examine it as the boost to $13 an hour happened a couple of years back, and now it's up to $15. But so for just the first two major bumps like that, from this article, this is the official study that was commissioned several years ago by the city of Seattle to study the impacts of raising a minimum wage in a move that I applauded at the time as an honest and transparent attempt towards self-examination of a bold policy. It is the first study of a very high city level minimum wage. Yada yada yada. The first wave doing at the increased the $11 last year was a mixed bag with fairly imprecise estimates. So right off the bat, the first time around, not really getting the results they were hoping for, very imprecise. These findings examining another year of data, including the increase to $13 an hour, are unequivocal. The policy is an unmitigated disaster. And with the main not like any of us didn't tell you so. So the main findings from this were the number of hours worked by low wage workers fell by 3.5 million hours per quarter. When we talk about stuff like this, you raise the minimum wage, it's going to knock the lower skilled workers completely out of the market. That's just people being greedy. That's not really going to happen. These people deserve that money. Well, look what happened. Sure enough, 3.5 million hours lost to the people on the low wage, low skill scale, just because you raised the rate that high. Secondly, the losses were so dramatic that this increased reduced income paid to low-wage employees of a single location in Seattle businesses by roughly $120 million on an annual basis. On average, low-wage workers, quote-unquote, lost $125 a month. That's a lot of money for somebody who's on the low end of the scale and probably just eking by. And as somebody who doesn't make minimum wage but has two kids and knows what it's like to, you know, live paycheck to paycheck at the time, you take $125 a month away from somebody in that situation, that could be the matter of skipping a couple of meals, you know. And again, no fault of your own, just because of the stupidity of people in government and the people clamoring for government. Estimates of the response of labor demand are substantially higher than much of the previous research, which may have been expected given how much higher the minimum wage is relative to the previously studied ones, because they're just, you know, again, you know, people talk about this, the fight for 15, and you know, people like myself and others will say, well, why not just raise it to 20 or 30 or 100? Because, you know, you obviously don't understand economics. Well, yeah.
Or 50,000 an hour.
Exactly.
That way everybody can work 1 or 2 hours a year, take the rest of the year off, and live like kings.
Yes. Well, that is the job. You know, that's the type of job my grandmother always told me when I was younger that she thought I would want, because I seemed like I didn't want to work. She's like, you need a job where it's your hours are 12 to 1 and you get an hour for lunch. I'm like, yeah, Grandma, sign me up.
For reals. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
So I got a couple of headlines here that I'm not going to go into the stories. I might go into them a little bit later on, but they just really caught my interest. North Korea agrees to trade away nuclear weapons for Krispy Kreme franchise. ISIS condemns Kathy Griffin for cultural appropriation. Pentagon awards contract to United Airlines to forcibly remove Assad.
I like that one.
John McCain angered over loss of Hanoi Hilton honors points.
Oh, man. Ooh, too soon?
Navy to save money by abandoning man overboard rescues.
I like that one.
Retiring general starts mail order anthrax delivery service. Battalion commander's list of number one priorities hits 50. And my personal favorite, and this is an Army article. All these are from the Duffel blog, by the way. Sorry about that. A Canadian sniper apologizes after record-breaking kill shot. Because the Canadians, they're just so polite.
Yes.
Right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Except for when you're going through... when you're going through the border checkpoints, I expected, I went to Porkfest last year. I expected the American border checkpoints to be even worse than the Canadians. And the Americans were pretty easy. They just let me slide through without a problem. They didn't ask me a gazillion different silly questions.
Yeah, so. I've never crossed the border to the north, so I don't know. I don't really think, I don't think it'd be a problem for me getting out. Getting in might be an issue. Yeah, I don't have a passport anymore.
Yeah, mine expired. It's really pretty up there. Going through like different parts of Ontario, I took the Trans-Canada Highway, and it was really, really nice. There were a lot of neat little lakes there and some mountainous regions, so got to see some rocks, and it was definitely pretty. It was a very enjoyable drive. It was a long drive, but it was an enjoyable drive. And Montreal was just a big city, so it did absolutely nothing for me. And plus the traffic was pretty heavy and everything else. But going through the rural part was just really, in some places it was quite breathtaking. So I really enjoyed it. And every time I stopped, the people at like the gas stations or restaurants and everything were pretty nice. So I enjoyed that. But it was the border checkpoints. Oh my God. And it used to be the other way around. Way back when, that when you're crossing back into the U.S., that the U.S. Border Patrol people were worse. You know, even if you're a piece of tax cattle on the American tax farm, they still treated you worse. And now it's the other way around. So, kind of sad about that. It has a sad.
Aww.
So, what else we got going on here tonight?
Let's see. That was going to be. I caught it. I caught another one earlier. I actually heard this during the. It was playing on the news during one of our breaks, and it made me laugh. Of the well, it. I was kind of impressed by this guy's dedication. The headline for the story was Arkansas's new Ten Commandments monument at the Capitol destroyed, and apparently. The state of Arkansas had just unveiled their new monument to the Ten Commandments at the Capitol like a day beforehand, and this guy came and drove through it as he yelled freedom while crashing his car into the monument early Wednesday morning. And the kicker of this was 3 years after he was arrested in the destruction of Oklahoma's monument to its state capitol. So this guy has got, it really seems to take umbrage with different, you know, fictitious entities erecting these monuments to the Ten Commandments, because he did it not once, but he's now done it twice in a 3-year span. I saw this. It made me laugh. I was like, really, you get out of jail and you're thinking, well, you know, that wasn't so bad. I guess I go for it again. I mean, what's the thought process there?
Yeah, you wouldn't think he would be doing it the same way after having spent time in jail.
Well, it sounds like he was somewhat successful in his goal of hitting the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Maybe he needed a second vehicle for the escape. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, he could have planned that a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, he attacks his hobby with a certain exuberance that you really have to appreciate.
I think. Yeah. No.
He shows a dedication to the cause that the average layperson just doesn't have, and for that he should be commended.
Yes. Yes.
Is he by chance from Florida?
I don't know. He's actually from Arkansas.
Arkansas is close to Florida.
This is true.
Arkansas man, very closely related to Florida man.
the cousin of Florida man. The unfortunate thing about this is, according to the story, this was a privately funded monument. So. That's kind of like a weird area, because it's on, you know, government property, but it was funded privately, and this guy just took it out. And I think the police chief actually, or the spokesperson, said that they will, they'll be erecting a new one almost immediately. Where is it? I lost the part, but yeah, they're gonna put another one up. So I mean, if it's going to be privately funded again, then you know, go for it. But you know, as long as more taxpayers aren't being stolen from to pay for it again, because that would be really unfortunate if the guy, if it had been taxpayer funded, and then they said, oh yeah, we'll just build another one, and then of course the taxpayers also have to pay to take care of the guy who got arrested and put him in jail, and they pay for all that, so they just continually keep getting robbed for this. But it's still just funny that this guy really, you know, he said, you know, where is it? Yeah, he was arrested in 2014 for the destruction of the monument in Oklahoma. Once they confirmed it, the last sentence in this article is, I'm so sorry that all this is happening and wished I could take it all back. But, you know, that was after he apologized. Apologized for 2015. I guess he wasn't sincere.
Wouldn't it be something if he wound up being cellmates with the Florida guy that got arrested for having drywall?
Oh, the stories they could tell each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Arkansas man extradited to Florida for, I don't know, some wacky reason. Anyway.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's an argument for him to make there, where it was on public property, so he was actually part owner. So
he's gonna have to show his tax receipts because that's how it works in Anfascistan.
Right? Well, yes, you only own, you know, a portion of it, depending on how much you were taken from, Shane. You know, which of course, you know, there's very easy calculation to figure that out. So shouldn't be an issue.
It's only income tax. Don't do all the other taxes, because, you know, then everybody's a net taxpayer.
Yeah, we can't have that. Have to.
So
as if taxes weren't complicated enough.
Yeah. So I may have missed it, but did they give a motivation for why he was running over monuments and commandments and stuff like that?
No, he just apparently freedom.
Born.
Because I think in both instances, this time he yelled freedom, like he was screaming it as he was crashing into the monument. And then later in here, where is it? He said the driver is then heard growling. oh my goodness, freedom, before accelerating into as he's driving by.
Somehow I don't think that's going to result in more freedom.
Yeah.
For him or anyone else.
Yeah, does he think he has Braveheart?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's, I mean, I think this is more of a religious freedom thing, because there, you know, and because like the ACLU has tried to get these monuments removed in the past based on, you know, that it's unconstitutionally endorsing a particular religion. So it seems like he's one of the people in that vein that thinks that, you know, that government shouldn't be, endorsing the religion like this. And if they're not going to do anything about it through legal means, then I have to take it into my own hands.
And this was at a courthouse, right?
Yes. Yeah, the Capitol building, I think, in Arkansas.
Oh, the Capitol building. Oh, okay, so what they put the Ten Commandments at a place full of lawyers and politicians. Let's see now. Maybe the Ten Commandments is actually trolling the politicians and the people that work there. Yeah. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. There's probably a fair amount of adultery on there. and certainly there's an awful lot of coveting and bearing false witness. Yeah. So maybe his defense is that he was trying to protect the politicians from trolling themselves by destroying the monument that they had put there.
Well, I'm guessing somebody who yells freedom after in the process of taking an act which he is almost sure is going to land him in jail after what he's already been through in the past may not be smart enough to think of that type of defense, Lou. I don't know. Call it a hunch. But he may not be able to put those pieces together.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
Exactly.
Worms.
Yeah, so I don't know, like I said, I just found that amusing. It's unfortunate that it was paid for with private money, but you know what, if you're spending private money to give something to the government to put on their property, well, you know what, I don't really feel that bad for you, honestly. That's just the, you know, that's your own silliness. Maybe you should learn from your mistakes and not pay for another one.
Worms.
Put it on your own front lawn.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When the final industries, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all.
This is Lou, joined by Shane and Jeremy, and Shane's going to share some redemption in the third act. This is a cop story that you don't normally hear, and it's from Thailand, so maybe that's why. Go ahead, take it away, Shane.
All right, so this is one of those viral videos that got shared on Facebook either today or yesterday, and I saw it in the last couple of days, and the title of the article here, this is from Daily Mail, co.uk. Someone needs a hug. Thai police officer talks down knife-wielding assailant and then embraces him. It says here, hero cop Anirudh Mali talked reasonably to the clearly stressed man. He quickly convinced him to hand over his knife and gave the man a giant hug. The incident occurred in Hue Kwang Police Station in Bangkok, Thailand. And the article goes on to state, this police officer in this video provides an exceptional example of how to calm a potentially explosive, violent situation. A man armed with a large knife enters the Hue Quang police station in Thailand, but instead of being banged up in Bangkok, he is met with a huge hug from Officer Anirudh Mele. The 45-year-old assailant had entered the station on Saturday night. The incident was caught on CCTV and the video shared online. Now, I know a lot of us probably saw that video, and when I started watching it, I thought, oh, this is going to be another one of those police brutality videos. But it was definitely not what I expected. The article goes on to state, he has a knife, but Hero Officer Anirudh sits down very calmly opposite with him, relaxed, slumped shoulders, and a very non-confrontational body language. He quickly convinces the assailant to hand over the knife. When he does, the policeman throws the knife away and approaches the assailant, arms outstretched, and embraces the man with a giant hug. He continues to hug him for a few moments as other people start to gather around. The assailant then sits quietly on the chair and appears to thank the officer. I heard him out and sympathized, and said I had a guitar to give him and suggested we go out for a meal together. We were conversing in Southern Thai dialect. Now, I don't know if I skipped a part here, but it said that the man was upset about losing his guitar and various other things, and so the officer actually had a spare guitar that he offered to give the man. The cop was praised online for his sensible actions. The unnamed assailant was sent to a hospital for an evaluation of his mental state, and no charges were reported. And, yeah, you can see in the video, they just sit him down, talk to him, and give him a hug and a bottle of water, and they press no charges, which I thought was amazing, because usually the state likes to prosecute anything they can get their hands on, and they will pick up a case even if someone doesn't press any charges. So I think that's a little redemption in the third act, where we can say props to Thailand for not being so harsh on this guy.
Well, not props to Thailand, props to the cop.
Yeah, props to the cop, because, you know, it was probably the individual in this case that made all the difference, whereas any other cop, you know what to probably expect in that situation.
Now, yeah, back where I'm from, this guy be dead.
Yeah. In this particular situation, it's not entirely unreasonable to think that that the cop would at least pull his weapon and point it at the guy. I think the average person out there, that if they see what appears to be a crazed man wielding a bladed weapon at them, Jeremy, they would probably have a tendency to fear for their safety, and they would probably pull a gun. If they had it on them. In this particular case, the cop chose to use compassion rather than brute force. And there's a lot of people out there that will say, well, this guy needs to be punished because he pulled a knife. And they make themselves into the victim of this, even though they were not there. They had nothing to do with it. And I certainly have to commend the officer for not going the violence route and by trying to de-escalate the situation. It turns out that the man... he appears to be in distress, and I don't think that there was any conclusion that was different than that. But he was in a state of distress, and rather than going the bad route, this cop chose compassion. He de-escalated the situation and saved a life. And isn't that what cops are supposed to be doing? Isn't that the advertisement that we get? Is that they're lifesavers, not life takers?
Allegedly.
So, hats off to this guy. Thanks for coming on tonight, guys, and thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.